It's good to be here. I always love to come here. Appreciate Brother Dan giving me a chance to be back again. And not too long after he contacted me, I was looking the Lord. Matter of fact, I might not even been praying yet particularly. But this message started coming to me. So it is out of your prayers as we look to the Lord to bring out something that will actually go with the what I call the 4th of July. Let's open in Isaiah 61. That'll be our part of our text. It's in the New Testament and the Old too, but we'll start over here in 61 of Isaiah. Again, desire your prayer. 61 and 1 said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, turn my hearing aids down where they won't be so loud, there we go. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint on them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Now, this morning, I want to discuss liberty. Our liberty. And we have a liberty in that goes far beyond any natural liberty, so to speak. And there was a man that made this statement, and I don't know that I've got his name written down, but he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." In other words, he was real serious about his liberty. If he couldn't have liberty, just take him on out. Just get him out of the way. So today, the Lord here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I'm thankful that the Lord come along and started dealing with you and I concerning our liberty. He gave us a chance to have something that we had never had before. He gave us a chance to be raised up and out, to be set our feet on a solid rock, to give us peace and joy and liberty and power and authority, to have something that we just didn't have. And you can't get any other way besides Jesus Christ. He's the one that set it in place. He's the one that works with it. And today, praise God, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your soul, and you'll have liberty. You'll have power. You'll have something that you can't have yet. Something you can have that you've never had," praise God, to get that out. "And you can never have it outside of Jesus. And when he appeared to me that day in 1985 out in Oregon, he pointed at me and he said, 'Child,' he said, 'I died for you. I died for you.'" Listen today, he gave his life. Liberty comes because of people giving their lives in wars and things to keep the country free. And it's taken thousands and thousands between the different wars down through the years. But then you get to this. It took one man and one life to make a plan, a power and authority, whereby you and I could have liberty all the time. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that liberty this morning. A liberty that we've got because of what Jesus done for us. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Luke, the 4th chapter. Luke, the 4th chapter here in the 18th verse. And this basically is a repeat of what I just read. But it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day It's here. You don't have to wait any longer. It is now arrived, praise God. Everything that's been prophesied and brought out about the one and only Jesus Christ of Nazareth, praise God, it is here today. And today, it's still here. It's still the time to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is a plan of salvation whereby you and I can have what we've never had before. So he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. There is not anybody. Well, it goes on down in here and it says, let's see, where is it at? I think it's right here. Where it talks about no man has spake like this man. Maybe it's not in this particular place. But the eyes of all them, the 20th verse, that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they, yeah, here it is, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They began to say, they wondered, they looked at, they considered. Now, I don't know about you. There's some in here that was raised in this truth. You've heard it all of your lives. And I wasn't really done that away. My grandfather on Daddy's side was a preacher. And Daddy was brought up in church, so to speak. But we didn't do a lot of church going when I was young. Didn't know anything much about the Bible. But thank the Lord, he come along one day. And he started calling, come unto me. He called me and worked with me and dealt with me. And I resisted for a while. But finally, after the conviction and so forth for so long, I decided it's time to get rid of all of this and get something that's better. And I knelt down on the 31st day of October in 1971 and began to pray and beg and plead. And he delivered me, he took the burden away, and he washed my sins away, and he gave me a liberty and a freedom that I'd never had, praise God. Thank the Lord for that today. And Jesus anointed me. There, no man has ever preached like he preached. No man's ever had the anointed power that he's had. Thank the Lord. Preach to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Listen, Jesus can do things with people that nobody else can do. He can heal, he can deliver, he can work with brokenheartedness. He can preach deliverance to those that are captives in the prison house of sin. And he can bring them up and out and set their feet on a solid rock and establish their going, praise God. And set at liberty. Set at liberty them that are bruised. Thank the Lord for that liberty. Are you appreciate that liberty this morning? Oh, today. Let's go to John 8 and 34. John 8 and 34. Now, you pray for us. I hurt my leg Monday, and I didn't even know if I could come, but it's worked quite well about all week. I've had some pain, but I'm doing real well so far, so you pray for us. John 8 and 34, he said, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, will make you free, you shall be free indeed. All right, today, it said, Jesus said, again, this is Christ letting them know. You know, if they ever had a doubt, so to speak, he was there to make a foundation, so to speak, solid, that there's something for you. And let's see, is it the 3rd John? I hadn't thought about this one. I love this scripture, 3rd John. Brother Dan, help me if I don't get it here. It said, John looked up and said, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here it is, 1 and 29, not 3 and 29, but 1 and 29. The next day John said, Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But he but that he should make manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now then, back to 8 over here, and he brings it out. He doesn't back up. He keeps letting them know, I'm thankful. Now, I don't know how quick you all got saved, but I'm thankful the Lord didn't quit on me. He kept calling. He kept convicting. He kept working. And it took a little while because I didn't know anything. But thank God the words he spake was life. The words he spake was helping me to understand that I could have something that I'd never had. And so he said here, 8 and 34, he said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. That's where we were at. We were a servant of sin. We didn't have a life of peace and joy. We couldn't do anything but what the devil wanted us to do. I get amazed sometimes. And yet when I look at it at a logical point, and a spiritual point, so to speak, I see why it's done. But I think, well, why do people do that? Why are they so, I don't know, I don't want to use a word silly particularly, but why do they do those things? And I think just about thought, well, the devil, he's got them wrung. He's got them hooked. He's got them working with him. And he leads them and guides them. He's a servant, or they're a servant to the devil. He that committeth sin, whosoever, this is not a maybe or a thought of, but whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. Listen, the servant is not in a place to do anything, but the son abideth forever. That real person that is free. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall, that's absolute, you shall be free indeed. The son is in the interested business of making everyone free this morning. He wants to make people free. He wants to lift them out of the mully grubs of sin. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and 15. There is a high cost for liberty, and that's death. High cost. Most people don't want to give their lives, but the government, or there's people that sign up to go to the military, but they know what could happen to them. Now, they had that sub deal that went down to the Titanic, and I thought, As I read a little bit about it here and there, I never read all about it. But the bottom line was, they let you know what you face. They let them know that you may never come back up. And I thought one of these men was a business. Well, two of them were businessmen. One of them was a billionaire, maybe two of them. One of them had his son with him. And they went knowing that they could die, that they could give their life, so to speak, for something to me is pretty frivolous. I mean, the Titanic's been down there for 100 years or better, and so consequently, but they wanted to be the ones to go see that. There's things I want to see much better than that, and that is the depths of Jesus Christ, the blessings that he's got. Open up the word to me, Lord. I'm not interested in the Titanic. There's things I'm not interested at all in, but this right here, because of the liberty he's given me, because of the death that he's died, because of the work that he's worked to get me where I'm at, the years of working with me and calling and blessing and helping and deepening me down. And what I know, it's been because he gave his life, his only life. He knew when he started into it what he faced. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die a horrible death. The death by the cross at that time was the most horrible death that you could die. And he knew he faced that. But he done it anyway because him and the Father had made a plan, praise God. This is the plan that we're doing for you, children. All of you, mankind. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it, but my blood will cleanse you up and give you a liberty that you would never have any other way, praise God. All right, 2 Corinthians 3 and 15. He said, Well, I've always said if you get a right book, it'll read right. I'm in 1 Corinthians, and it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3 and 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now it said here, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. And where the Spirit is not, there's no liberty. So that lets me know that the Lord has got to be in us. He's got to take, we've got to allow Him as we repent, as we confess, as we forsake and so forth. We've got to allow Him to come in and set up. He's got to clean it, and then after He gets everything the way He wants it, then He moves in and sets up home, so to speak. And that's the reason that you and I can live the life we live. If it wasn't for that, we couldn't do it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Listen, it's not only with us only, but in our services. There's liberty and power in our services that no other people have like we have. I've been in funeral after funeral down through the years. Other bodies of people, and there's nobody has the funeral services that we have. I've been in some pretty good ones that I've been to. And I'm not going to name denomination particularly, but I've been in some, and I've been in some that was so pitiful I couldn't hardly grasp how bad it was. But the bottom line is, when you come to the saints, you're going to have something because the Lord is there. Listen, Jesus is here this morning, and we have the liberty of the Spirit and the singing, and the praying, and the preaching, the exhortation, whatever it might be. We have a spirit of power and a spirit of liberty that people don't have, and it's because He's here. He lowers Himself to be with us. He comes down and does things for you and I. I've been in awe of the great God for months and months now. Of the fact I know we're His children. I know we're married to Him. I know we have what we have because of Him. But the bottom line is, folks, He comes down and blesses us over and over. And I can't thank Him enough. He comes into our homes. Oh, in West Virginia, when I was so bad, and I was there that day, that night, it wasn't day, it was night, and the wife and Sister Salmon's in the kitchen, and the Lord come down. Now, I don't know how many of you have had what I call glory, but the glory of the Lord is extreme nearness. And it's not internal in this fact, it's the very presence of God coming right to you and getting so close that if it wasn't for His mercy, the body would literally explode. I was shouting, I was crying all at the same time. And I guess the two ladies in the kitchen thought this man had done lost his mind. And so they come in there. Are you all right? Are you okay, Carl? I said, I'm fine. Jesus just got real close. That liberty, that power, that anointing, the working of His Spirit, He done that, praise God. To me, He was just sanctioning. I'd been trusting Him. I'd been willing to live or die, sink or swim, physically, whatever it took. But I wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And I felt like He just come down and poured it out. And praise God, hallelujah, there isn't anything any better than that. But it's His presence, see. It's the work is where the Spirit of the Lord is. They're in liberty, praise God. Singing and praying. Listen, folks, today we ought to be extremely thankful for what we've got. He comes down and spends time with us. He leads and works in services. There'd been many a time preachers got in the pulpit and the ones that done the special singing just led and set the message right in place. Done it over and over. Seen different ones get up. Done it myself. That song goes right with the message. And that's the reason I call that first verse. Jesus gave His life for us. He gave His life for our victory, for our power, for our salvation. Oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, thank God. Oh, let us thank Him every day for coming down and blessing us as He does. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's go to sixth chapter Romans and 11th verse, 6 and 11 of Romans. You keep praying, his leg's feeling pretty good this morning. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed in sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but ye yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and are members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which would deliver you. And being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Oh, today, again, this keeps leading back to the point. Keeps leading back to the point that, I know why it is. It's a darkness. They don't have it. But people can't see the freedom that they can have. They don't grasp that there's a real spiritual liberty, that you don't have to be servants of sin. You don't have to be in a situation where, well, we sin more or less every day. No, the Lord said when he's there, that's not going to be. He's going to give us power to live above it, to do what God would have us to be. And he said here, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey? Whether sin to death or obedience unto righteousness? It's just a simple, plain question here. Know you not. In other words, children, think about it. Think about it. To whom you yield yourselves. Oh, today we want to yield ourselves to God. We want to yield ourselves to Christ. We want him to help us to do what he wants us to do. Now, there's times and battles and struggles and trials and temptations that there is some hard places. But he said, my grace is sufficient. I have got it to help you. No matter what you're going to go through, I've got the grace to lift you up or to see you through whatever you need, child, if you'll depend on me and just yield yourself to Christ. Say, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do, Lord? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to have victory in this battle? What do I need to give up? What do I need to surrender? Whatever it might take, yield ourselves unto him and to his power and his authority and be in that obedience, and then you and I are going to have the liberty we want and that we desire. So, Lord, help us to do that. Said, being then made free from sin, you become servants of righteousness. I'm going to tell you what. Anytime that there's servants of righteousness around, everything is better. Everything is better. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you are servants of sin, you're free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's saying here, yield, surrender. If you're in a battle, if you're in a struggle, so to speak, go to Jesus. Lord, help me. I need your help. I need you to give me the power. I need you to give me the wisdom. I need you to give me the scriptures, whatever it might be, Lord. One young sister, you'd know her if I named her name. She come to an altar one time several years ago in a meeting. And she come down there, and the old general and Sister Verna worked with her, and she told him what the battle and what the struggle was. And so he said they talked and they counseled and so forth. And he said then they went to prayer. And he said while we were praying, he said, I got a vision of a heart. And he said in his heart there was a place in here that had dust in it. Just dust. Didn't say dirt or bad coal or anything like that. Just dust. And he said we got to praying and he said I saw some blood coming down. And said the blood come through and come right through that area and washed all the dust out. He said, when we got through praying, praise God, she had the victory. And as far as I know, she still got it years later. That is the life of liberty that you and I can have because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of His power. But we've got to come to Him. We've got to submit ourselves. We've got to do what He wants us to do, praise God. Lord, help me. I want to do it, Lord, help me. The devil's going to try to do everything he can to keep us from having that. But we can have it. Oh, we can have it today, children. We can have it. Let's go to James 1, 1 and 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightforth forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now then, how many of us has looked in a mirror, combed our hair, whatever, and then gone away, and we're just the same person? We look just the same every time we look in that mirror, except maybe our hair's a little ruffled a little bit. Especially sometimes you come out of a bathtub or out of a shower, and you wash your hair, and it's every which way. Some brothers have hair that they don't have to do like mine. Mine is fine and light or frizzy or whatever you call it. And so it's ever which direction. It's a good thing I married Molly before she saw all that. But anyway, today the Lord wants us, we look, we think, we walk away and we forget. But he's saying here, but be doers of the word. For if any be a doer of the word and not a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like a natural glass. Is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way straightforth, forgetting what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, perfect law. I like that. Perfect. It's absolute. There's no flaws. There's not even anything that makes it rough in any way. It's absolutely perfect in every way. And continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. For if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. But he said, but whoso looketh. Now then, if we're in a battle, and we're having a struggle, I heard a man say, a brother, not just a man, but a brother, said he battled something for 10 years. 10 years. But he said, I was determined to get the victory. He said, I wouldn't quit. And he kept going back. And if he needed to repent, so to speak, I guess he repented, and he kept on, and he said he got it. It took a while, but he got it. Listen, folks, don't quit. The worst thing you can do is stop. The worst thing you can do is just can't do it, and just go back into sin. No. Don't do it that way. There is liberty. And there's liberty for every one of you. And He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly how to work with us. And so consequently, if we keep going back to Him, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He's going to be some blessings. There's going to be some liberty and freedom for you. Just don't quit. A just man falleth seven times, but what does the Bible say? He riseth again. In other words, he gets back up. He don't go down and stay down. He gets back on his feet and away he goes. He might need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. He might need to do whatever he needs to do. But the bottom line is, he wants liberty, and I'm not going to quit, praise God. Look into that perfect law. I like that word perfect. I like that word perfect right there. The perfect law of liberty and continued therein. He being not a forgetful hearer. In other words, he's listening, he's considering, he's weighing, he's doing whatever he needs to do. But a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He's going to be blessed because he's going to keep coming. He's going to keep reaching out. He's going to keep begging and pleading and crying. Whatever it might take, praise God, because he wants total victory. He wants total liberty. All right, let's go to John 8 and 31. Be back just a little bit above John 8 and 31. Here's some scriptures I really like too. 8 and 31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews who believed on him, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If you, now the word Jews, come on. Come on, Jews. You're believing on me. But you got to do something. You've got to continue in my word. You've got to do what I say, because I'm going to take you from the old and I'm going to bring you to the new and I'm going to give you liberty that you never had. I'm going to do something for you. But you've got to do what I tell you to do. You've got to listen. You've got to respond. You've got to work. Listen, a child, if you're working with children and they don't do what you ask them to do, you ain't getting very far. You know, they're going this way or that way. LaDonna Beth one time, we was at starting to cross the street, and every time that she thought it was time to cross the street, she's ready to go. And I'd reach down and pull her back. She'd look at me, but I saw something she didn't see. And she done it about three times. Well, Daddy, what's the problem here? Daughter, you're not seeing something that can kill you. I don't know how she missed it, but anyway, she was rip-roaring ready to go. But it wasn't getting her anywhere because I was pulling her back. Oh, today, Lord, help you and I. Help you and I to be willing to do what needs to be done. He said there, then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Now then, there's a scripture in 5 of Matthew, I believe it is, or 6. It said, be therefore perfect. No, that's not the one I want. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. For several years, in thinking on that some, I thought, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the Lord. And then I read something, and then it dawned on me that that means here too. And what that is saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, the only ones that's going to see the depths of the Word of God, that's going to see the depths of the power and the glory and the liberty and the freedom in every way, are those that are pure. Those that belong to Christ, those that's continued in the Word, those that are doing what He wants them to do. Because listen, folks, He ain't going to give this to old black sinners, old dirty sinners. He's not going to do that. He wants to give it only to those that worship Him and love Him and following Him and doing what He wants them to do. Then they can have the depths. So if we want the depths, we're going to have to be pure as we need to be. He said there, then he said, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you should be made free? Oh, today you should know the truth and the truth. This word has liberty in it. This word has power in it. And we can look into this word. You should know the truth and the truth. Now, I preached it this way, and I don't think I'm too far off. And that is, the fact is that the word of God, in a sense, is a continual liberty. And what I mean by that, you get saved, and you start reading, and you start measuring up. But then you keep reading, and you keep measuring, and you keep reading, and you keep measuring. And this goes on for years. But as you do, there's more freedom. There's more knowledge. There's more understanding. Like I said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Those that are striving and doing everything to be just what the Lord wants them to be, that's the one I'm going to bless him. Well, if you got a child, if you've got a child, folks, that is an obedient, loving, darling child, what do you do to them? You'll reward them. You'll do things for them. And I'm not saying totally spoil them particularly. And yet when you got some grand pumpkins and you got some pumpkins, you want to spoil them too. I know that. But you see what I'm saying here? The Lord wants to reward us because we're doing what he wants us to do. Going where he wants us to go. There is times that there's been some things. Brother Murphy Allen, years ago, he said he was in a revival meeting, and I don't know where this was. I've heard a lot of things and preached and so forth from Brother Sammons and Brother Curtis Sr. and different ones, but I never knew where this was. But he's in this meeting, and he was down praying for the service that night. The Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to go out and preach on the street corner. He said, Lord, I don't have anybody to sing. I don't have anybody to back me up. And he kind of panicked. The Lord said, I want you to go preach on the street corner. He thought about it. He went back to prayer. He got up and he went and done what the Lord wanted him to do. Those kind of things can be, if you want to use the word scary, especially today, there's no telling what would happen. Joseph Daniel said in Green Bank, I believe it was Green Bank or Holly Hill One, he said that there's 19 states have passed laws, I believe it is, that if we cry out against homosexuality and stuff, they can do something to us. Now, I don't know what the 19 states is, and I don't know all about the law, but that's what he said. Well, Lord, help us to do, even though it looks hard. I don't have anybody to help me, Lord. He had the Lord. That's all he needed with Jesus. Now, I don't know if he thought about that, but I'm sitting here thinking, he had what he needed, and that's the one that was calling him to do it. Listen, when the one named Christ gives us a call to do something, always remember, you might not have a whole host with you, but you got him, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he can help you do whatever he's asking you to do. All right, let's go to James 2 and 12. We'll be wrapping it up here in a little bit. James 2 and 12. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty, will be judged by this. We'll be judged by what the Lord has revealed and taught us and worked with us, the light and the understanding he's given us. That's what we're going to be judged. It'll be right here. And this is said is the perfect law of liberty. And that perfect law of liberty is what's going to judge us one day. It'll be right there. So that's why you and I want to get as much as we can out of the Word of God. Oh, I've heard people that I had high admiration for make a statement. And they, at that time, they were quite a bit older than I was. And they said, well, I'm not as far along as I wish I was. I've learned, and they'd made a lot of headway, and they'd done some real powerful preaching, but the bottom line is that I'm still not as far as I'd like to be. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to keep reaching and to keep asking. Lord, help me. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to go. I want to be at the depths. Lord, help me. All right, let's wrap it. Let's go to Galatians 5 and 13. Galatians 5 and 13, then Galatians 5 and 1. We'll be through here in a little bit. Galatians 5 and 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, because we have the liberty and so forth, we do not want to use it for anything other than the right, perfect thing. Don't use it for an occasion to the flesh, it says here. And I don't know that this is totally talking about sin. I don't think it is. But it said, but by love, serve one another. The whole bottom line is what that they're getting back to here is the fact that love, Paul is bringing out here that by love, we want to love one another, serve one another, help one another, bless one another, but don't use that liberty that we have for an occasion in any way to do anything that the Lord's not pleased with, that he would help us in any way that we need. All right, 5 and 1 of Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast. Stand solid. Stand unmovable. Because Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again. Don't get entangled in any way. When you stand fast. One time years ago, when I had my little service station, and I hadn't been saved that long. I'd probably 2-3 years. But I was closing everything up. I'm going to go home for the night. And I was pulling my lube day doors down. And pulling them down. And as I did, the devil walked up to me. Just right in front of me. I mean, he's standing almost close enough to about feel his touches, so to speak, in a way. And he said, you're going to say, I'm going to give up. I stood there just a second. I said, devil, I said, I know I'm not on the mountaintop right now, but I also know I ain't backslid. Now just get on out of here. I ain't going to say what you want to say. Just get on out of here and leave me alone. And he left and I'm still with him. Had to stand fast, see. Listen, brother, Egbert Allen, he would get out. I don't know if some of you know who Egbert Allen is, but he's a blind preacher. But he would literally at his home was on the whatever side of the road it was on, I can't remember now, east, west, he's probably on the north side of the road. He would cross the road with his cane, and he'd get over here and he'd go so far down, and there was a bridge down there and a creek, and he would stop there and he'd come back across the road and he'd walk back up to his house. He got down there to that bridge one time, and he said he was surrounded, I guess, by spirits. He said they were just really oppressing him and talking to him and so forth. And he stood there just a moment, and he just rebuked the whole deal and stood fast against it, stood where he just, no matter what, and he said they fled, and he went back to the house. Did like I did. I shut up the shop, and I went home that night. But we're going to have to stand. There's going to be people that, folks, we're going to have to stand firmly and lovingly and let them know, I'm not going to do that. I've had people say, well, come on, let's go do this. I said, no. Well, one of them come to me, high school man that I graduated with, hadn't seen a Wally in a long time, but we graduated and he went off to the war, or went off to boot camp, and I went off to college. And he come back after he got out of boot camp and come there, and I had gotten saved in between the time that he had left and come back. And so as we talked and visited, and good talk, good visit, wasn't nothing out of order at all that he said. But he made a statement. He said, listen, he said, I'm going to come by and pick you up. We're going to go have a night on the town. I've never had a night on the town, folks. Whether I saved or unsaved, I've never had a night on the town. And I let him know. I said, well, Wally, I said, while you was gone, I've gotten saved. And I said, I don't have any interest in doing that, and I'm not going to do it. He looked at me, and he said, Carl, he said, I know people that's religious, but said, I've never had them do like that. In other words, what I think he was saying was they'd go out on a night on the town. But I said, no, I'm not interested in that. That's where we're going to have to lovingly stand flat-footed, and that goes sometimes to family members, that goes to children. Lord, help us now. I'm not trying to preach it any higher than I can live it. But the bottom line is just let them know I'm going to stand fast in the liberty that I have. I'm not going to allow it to take me down any place that it shouldn't be, and I'm going to say, no, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. Now, you go do what you want to do if you want to do it, but I'm not going to do it. I didn't know I was going to get into that, but Lord help us. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. It's that standing fast in the liberty that keeps you having liberty. If we back up, then's where we're going to get in trouble. Be wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't do anything that will get us into trouble. All right, let's finish up. Psalms. Good old Psalms. 119, 44. 119 of Psalms and 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I'll meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. There is comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. All right, so he says here, so shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk. This is doing nothing but finishing up what I've been preaching for the last almost hour. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, today there's liberty for us. I appreciate the liberty the country has, as much as it's got. But I really appreciate this liberty. This liberty has been a blessing to millions of people down through the years, shouting and praising. And sometimes I think somebody talking to me the other day and said, Carl, he said, I'm listening to some of these tapes back there. He said, I was listening to a tape by the old general. I don't remember which one he said it was, but he said, I was listening to one. And he said, there's a lot more shouting in the services. He said, it's quiet now compared to then. I said, yeah, and I'll tell you why. And he listened. He said, oh, I got you. Didn't take him very long because he knew, as Brother Salmon said, don't allow Danny Lane to take our rejoicing away. He said, I know he's doing what he's doing, but we don't have to get deathly quiet because he's over there shouting all the time. And I told him, I said, that's what the... Since he was listening to that tape, then I thought, well, I'll put that in there since he'd know. But Lord, help us. We've got something to rejoice about. We've got something to shout about. We've got liberty that is available through the blood of Jesus Christ and his power of redemption that we can have. And this is something that'll go with us all the way. And we need to thank him for it. We need to rejoice once in a while. Praise God. We appreciate your time, attention. Pray for me.